Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Locked On Big Ten podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Stevens. It is Wednesday, September 2nd, and today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar, the new and improved Built Bar that is deliciouser than ever. So when you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, that's L-O-C-K-E-D-O-N, you'll get $10 off your next order. Shout out to Built Bar, today's episode sponsor. And on today's episode, we have it, folks. There was a vote put forth in a legal document from the Big Ten Conference saying that the conference presidents and chancellors did indeed vote on whether to have a fall sports season. The decision, 11 yes, 3 no. We can guess who the 3 no were, and sources have confirmed to some national media members that the 3 no votes were Nebraska, Iowa, and Ohio State. So, this kind of gets rid of all the speculation surrounding, was there a vote or was there not? We had school presidents saying it was more just a consensus, not really so much a vote. Minnesota's Gene Gable was one of the people to echo just that. But now, because the Big Ten filed in a court of law a brief and two affidavits, we know for a fact, yes, a fact. You can maybe question it, but that probably won't stand up, because when you put forward legal documents that have to stand up in the court of law or face perjury charges, you pretty much have to guarantee that what you are saying is factual and truthful. So, which I believe the Big Ten did have a vote. It was 11-3. 11 in favor of postponing/canceling the fall sports season, 3 against that very idea, but well past the margin of a 60% threshold that the Big Ten needs. That would be about 9 yes votes. So 11 voted yes. They got past that majority vote, past that threshold, and that is how we came to not have a fall sports season in the Big Ten Conference. Why it took so long to get that vote, I'm not entirely sure. And I put out the question to you guys, fans of the Big Ten Conference on Twitter, does knowing the Big Ten actually vote make you happier at all? And the responses are in. No. 75% of you said no. 25% of you said yes. I kind of agree. It's great that we have that clarification now, but at the end of the day, we still have no Big Ten football for this upcoming fall, so what does it really matter? But at least we have some of that transparency now. At least we have some of that confidence, I would hope, back in the Big Ten conference itself. I know some of you have been too hurt before, so you can't really just get back and say, I now have full-fledging faith again in the conference leadership, and still there are questions that need to be answered. I get all of that. We haven't really heard the why. We have heard the how they came about to vote. And we get into all of the conversation that is surrounding the Big Ten Conference with my man, SEC Drew Carter, who joins us on the podcast again to give some perspective of what it's like getting ready to cover a college football season as they are playing in the Southeastern Conference and where he is in Birmingham, Alabama. And also, just to get his take as a sports fan and as a sports media member on what has been going on with the Big Ten Conference. Because despite not having sports to play this fall, the news never stops in the Big Ten Conference. Let's kick it over to SEC Drew Carter right now. Once again, it is Big Ten Ben and it is SEC Drew, who logged into this Zoom recording meeting with his name being hashtag let us play. I wonder what that is in reference to. So Drew Carter, a sports reporter and anchor at CBS 42 in Birmingham, Alabama, giving us some SEC perspective, but also diving the knife a little bit deeper into the fans of the Big Ten's chest right now. How are you? Would you like to explain your hashtag you came on the show with?
Oh, well, Ben, I'm phenomenal. It's the month of September, and in case you didn't know, you probably wouldn't know much about this, but this month is when college football starts.
No, I know nothing about that anymore.
So it's the month of college football for us in September, for the folks who don't know. September 26th, to be exact, the SEC is starting a conference-only, magnificent, majestic, marvelous season. And we are so fired up. And I'm sorry, Ben, I know you in the media, you're rooting against college football to happen. But me in the media, hashtag let us play, I am so fired up for it to happen.
Listen, let's not forget where SEC Drew hails from, and that is Minnesota. So despite his alliteration of the M words right there, let's not forget where his ties are. And I know, like me, he is hurting. We are not having any Big Ten football this year. So, Drew, I have to ask, from an outside perspective, at least where you are right now in Birmingham, when you're seeing all the chaos that has taken place leading up to the Big Ten's decision to postpone fall sports, and now in the 3 weeks or so in the aftermath, and the ramifications we are dealing with. What have you been thinking as you're sitting there in your ivory tower in Birmingham, Alabama, waiting for college football to start?
Before I answer your question, Ben, I've got one for you. Do you have a capability to bleep me?
Yes, I can bleep you if I feel like it, but if it's not that bad, maybe I won't.
All right, well, try this one on for size. The Big Ten has been an abject shit show.
Wait, oh, I tried to time it up with the little delay on Zoom. Didn't work too well.
A little delay. You're going to have to do some post-production. I'm sorry about that.
I'll work into it.
But that's really the only way I can think to describe it, you know, and it's unfortunate because Kevin Warren, I've always liked the guy. I really do think he has presented a strong face. I mean, you think about his commissionership. He took over and almost immediately he has to deal with a global pandemic.
Right.
It sucks. Poor Kevin Warren had like a 2-month honeymoon. I don't know exactly when he took over, but he had like 2 months to go on Big Ten Network and do the fancy sit down with Dave Revson, and it was great. I've always liked the guy. I really do. And in all seriousness, I do think it's a great image for one of the commissioners of a Power Five conference to be a black man. I really think that's great. But Kevin Warren, recently, it does not seem like the transparency has been what you want. And that's the key. Honestly, Ben, like, I don't have a problem with them canceling college football season. It seemed to me like that is where this all was trending in the first place.
Right.
I would have said in April, there's no chance we play college football. And I have been seemingly proven wrong. We're into September with the SEC. We'll see if they can pull it off. My thing ever since like early August has been, I think they'll start because they are guns blazing.
Right.
They are blinders on. Everyone in the Southeast is let's play football. Damn it. It's still real to me. Damn it. We need to play. So I think they'll start. But all that is to say, I thought the Big Ten, I don't necessarily think they did jump the shark. I just think they were being realistic. Mm-hmm. I think they were being the most realistic of anyone in the Power Five. And then the Pac-12 followed suit. We now know the vote was 11-3 in favor of not playing. Like, it was almost like an election, man. There was so much smoke and mirrors. There were so many attacks on poor Kevin Warren. The only thing I would have liked to see from him is a little more transparency. And now we've got some transparency courtesy of the President of the United States, who said he met with him this morning. I mean, you cannot follow this as if it's anything other than a reality show at this point.
Absolutely. I mean, there has been storylines each and every day in the 3 weeks following the Big Ten's decision. I thought when that happened, it was over and it was done with. And still the league office is saying we're not reversing course on the decision. But we have had something new each and every day. I thought covering a Big Ten football lack of season now would be boring. But no, You throw in my guy, Sir Yacht. You have now the President of the United States tweeting that he's meeting with the Big Ten commissioner himself, which just further complicates things. I mean, we are going around and around, and each and every day, it is something new. And my thing, like you, I am a fan of Kevin Warren. I was at least leading up to the decision, even in the early part of July, when the Big Ten was the first Power Five conference to announce a conference-only schedule would be what they used if they played a 2020 season. He was out there saying, just because we're putting this out here does not mean we are going to guarantee a college football season. Even when they released the actual schedule itself 6 days prior to the postponement, he said this does not guarantee we are playing a college football season. I thought at that point, from a leadership perspective, he was being very pragmatic. He was being very upfront with the Big Ten community. And then since the decision, it's like complete 180. He has been hiding in the shadows, it seems, at times. There's been a lack of transparency across the board. It has allowed this speculation and all these crazy news rumors to take place. You have Sir Yacht today on Tuesday, as we are recording this, Drew Carter, saying, breaking, he knows we're starting October 12th. So I have no idea, but that is the part of it that is so frustrating to, I think, fans. They're searching for some sort of information, and when it's not coming from the top and the Big Ten leadership, they're able to craft their own narratives. They're able to make their own ideas. It has even led to fans tweeting at the Locked On Big Ten account after the Big Ten filed a brief and two affidavits, legal terms, to say there was an 11-3 vote. People saying, no, that's still made up. They don't even know what they're talking about. So right now, the Big Ten can't win point blank. Not a chance.
It is insanity.
So I don't need to really worry about this in terms of covering actual football games this fall, but my man Drew Carter does. And how will he stay energized to cover all of the games he must? The University of Alabama at Birmingham, UAB, the Blazers, the Alabama Crimson Tide, the Auburn Tigers. He's covering so many universities down there. So how will he fuel that energy, that appetite? Well, the best way of doing that is Built Bar, because Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. I do not mince words. It is the best tasting protein bar ever, and the new and improved Built Bar is even deliciouser. 6 new amazing flavors to add on for a total of 18 amazing flavors coming from Built Bar, and all of their Built Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They are soft and they are easy to chew. It is like dessert each and every time I open and unwrap a Built Bar. And on top of that, I can feel good when I do so because I know Built Bars are healthy. They are low in calorie, low in sugar, but they are high in stuff where it counts. High in protein and high in fiber. They are great for the keto diet if that is your jam. Let's take a look at one of the new flavors they've got going on, the coconut almond, and the flavor profile right there. 18 grams of protein, only 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar, only 5 grams of net carbs. Incredible stuff out of Built Bar. And you know what's also incredible? When you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com and possibly a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. Again, promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com for $10 off. So Built Bar is what Drew Carter will use to fuel his energy for the college football season. It's what I use to fuel me pretty much on a daily basis. If you're looking for things to fuel your automobile, there's no better place to go than rockauto.com. It's convenient self-service at the click of your computer delivered directly to your door. It couldn't be anything easier than that. And speaking of fuel, if you're looking for parts like engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet, RockAuto.com has everything, whether it's for your classic or daily driver. Get everything, yes, everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. And best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. It is that simple. So when you go to RockAuto.com right now and you see all the parts available for your car or truck, make sure to write Locked On, LOCKEDON, in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you here from the Locked On Podcast Network. Drew Carter came on and told me that he is impressed by my singing vocals, so we'll give it to him right now. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, the jingle for those beautiful singing vocals. All the parts your car will ever need. Rock Auto. It's like baritone into a beautiful high note to end it. That's what rockauto.com inspires in me. Again, convenient self-service at rockauto.com.
First of all, who is Sir Yacht?
Do you not know Sir Yacht?
I don't think so, no. Is that your burner account?
No, Sir Yacht is a young man out of the middle of Ohio, I think right outside of Cleveland. He made news about 3 weeks ago now when he had his first breaking news alert that, according to a source that he told me on this very podcast here on Locked On Big Ten, was a Power 5 athletic director, most likely from the Big Ten, saying the Big Ten was going to reverse course and reinstitute a fall football season.
That guy, right.
Yeah, and pretty much it led to Kevin Warren releasing that statement 8 days after the postponement initial announcement, saying, no, we are sticking with the decision. I think that was caused by Sir Yacht and a lot of people picking it up. Barstool Big Cat picked it up. Pat McAfee picked it up. It kind of became the talk of the town a little bit, and that's why I brought him on the Locked On Big Ten show, as he was a league tastemaker. And my man has been sticking to his gun, shooting off shots each and every day pretty much. But you even have a guy like Teddy Greenstein, Stein, whatever it is, from the Chicago Tribune, who tweeted out today he talked with a Big Ten coach who says, we're looking to play as soon as possible. Let's go. So I don't know. Like, I'm truly just left in a whirl, like a whirlwind. I don't know if it's like, what is this? What's the movie? Wizard of Oz, when she gets in the tornado and like spins around and then gets to wherever.
Maybe. What do you mean, what's the movie, Ben?
I mean, I was trying to. I was going to say Gone with the Wind. You know, I was just thinking the tornado and wind. Yeah, obviously Wizard of Oz. I don't know, man. This is my brain now. It's kind of become Big Ten mush in a way.
Hey, any listeners out there, I'm trying to figure out, what's that movie where she says, we're not in Kansas anymore, and they're going on the yellow brick road? Can someone help me out with that? I mean,
yeah, she taps her shoes a few times. I don't know, man. Whatever.
Right. Okay, so let me ask you this, Ben. Okay. And then I'm going to launch into a monologue, okay?
Please.
But here's my question. So is Sir Yacht, does he have any credibility? Is he like the Ari Abraham of the Big Ten, where he just tweets stuff, says he has sources, and people run with it? Who is this guy?
Yes. To answer your question, well, I guess your original question was, does he have credibility? So that I would lean slightly to no. But as he expressed it to me, and as you know, Drew Carter, as a former breaking news insider myself, as I had the Antonio Brown news that he was in talks with the Houston Texans, which I still, to this day hold that it was a credible source who provided me correct information that I reported at the time. Uh-huh. Sir Yacht was of the same kind of belief that what he was getting at the time he believed in, and he was reporting it to be true. Would it end up happening? No. But what he reported when he had that information, yes. What he has done following in about the week and a half, 2 weeks, as he continues to fire off his reports from his sources, leaves me a little bit more skeptical. But at the time, the initial report, I kind of believed that he believed was credible. I only had my one initial report about Antonio Brown, and then I was like, you know what? If he doesn't end up signing, that's not what I reported. But still, I'm just going to let it be that. Sir Yacht has not taken that same mentality. So is he credible? A lot of people around the internet, real college football reporters, national media members would argue he's not. I guess for right now, I've saved this GIF out there ready to go every time he tweets, every time anybody tweets something about the Big Ten. It's the Michael Scott GIF from season 5 of The Office where he's sitting in his office and he says, yep, I'm ready to be hurt all over again. No question about it. And that is just how I feel pretty much each and every day I log on to Twitter.com.
Yeah, hey, that's fair. I mean, you are anticipating pain when yes. you log into that website. It yes. sucks. All right, so Sir Yacht aside, yes. let me launch into my monologue here.
Please, this is your floor.
Kevin Warren, he's been like the GIF of Homer Simpson, and I'm sure someone has tweeted this, where he's out in the open, and then he starts to fade into the bushes. That's what happened with Kevin Warren, and you're so right, Ben, because I was so appreciative of his transparency, the very thing yep. we're criticizing him for now. I was so appreciative of him in August because it seemed like, to me, he was the only one with the stones to come out and say what we were all expecting. Like, you can't tell me that the guys in the SEC office were optimistic in August. You can't right. tell me that. There's no chance. I mean, they're trying. They're trying, and I still don't know if they're optimistic. And I'm not – this is no inside info. I'm no Sir Yacht. I'm no Ben Stevens here. But I – just reading the tea leaves, man, I think it's hard to say that anyone thinks 100% yes, we're playing college football this year.
Right.
Now, it's a long way to go to say 100% no, we're not. But it seemed to me like that's where the pendulum was. And it's not like Kevin Warren made this decision in March. You know, I see all the time, why did the Big Ten act so early? They really jumped the shark here. It's like, guys, we were 2 weeks out from the first kickoff. Yeah. What are we doing? Like, now it's been pushed back. But you know, everyone talks about the infrastructure around college football as a reason to play. Well, to me, it's a reason to announce that you're not going to play early. You've got people who rely on the income. You've got people who work at the stadium. That's what they say at UAB all the time. Like, hey, don't forget about, you know, the person who's sweeping the floor after the game. Don't forget about the person who's making your hot dog that you're right. eating at Protective Stadium. You know, there are so many things that revolve. People make their travel schedules around college football. We both know this. Flights get more expensive the longer you wait to yes. book them. So I just think it's so disingenuous for people to say, like, he should have waited longer. He should have waited longer. And Kevin Warren's going to look really smart when what happens, when what I expect happens, which is in mid-October, everyone shuts it down because you've got 50 kids per team with a positive COVID test.
Right.
Like, that's what I expect, and I hope I'm wrong. Honestly, I do. I'm not rooting against college football. I'm just trying to be realistic. But the bigger point here is I wish Kevin Warren would have maintained that transparency, and it reminds me of the Big Ten being like a microcosm of the NCAA, where they make this decision, and you hear nothing from them afterward. And right. it feels like there's a leadership void at the top, but it's frustrating because you know that's not the case with Kevin Warren. He seems to me like a phenomenal leader. Mark Emmert comes out and he seems like a punching bag yeah. every time. Mark Emmert hasn't made a good decision since he took over the NCAA, it seems like. And every time he takes the podium, it seems like he should be sitting in the corner and someone else should be doing it for him. Meanwhile, Kevin Warren seems like a great leader. So it's almost like a basketball player who you know can go out there and drop 40. So when they drop 5, it's more frustrating than when, like, the 12th man drops 5. You know what I'm saying? Like, Mark Emmert, you expect that. Kevin Warren, you expect better from him.
SEC Drew continues to give us that national perspective on the Big Ten and what he's hearing down in the South in Birmingham, Alabama, the headquarters of the Southeastern Conference. That's all coming up next. Listen, very astute monologue right there. I mean, incredible stuff, and that's why we bring you on this podcast. One point I want to make to further on what you said right there, let's also not forget that all Kevin Warren is taking the bashing from the Big Ten community, this was not his sole decision. In fact, it was the decision of the Big Ten presidents and chancellors, who we know did vote. Folks, if they put out legal documents getting ready to go back against a lawsuit filed by Nebraska, it is true. Otherwise, they're in a lot more shit than we are thinking they are in right now. Okay, let's get that out there. The affidavit stands up in a court of law. So we trust in the vote. But the reason I give SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey some kudos, aside from the nice Audi that he drives that you sent me a photo of in the SEC league offices in their parking lot, Greg Sankey, since announcing the SEC would continue to move forward at the pace they are, has been out in the open. He was on the Dan Patrick Show. He has made himself available to the media to say, here is where we are right now. Here is the latest update. And we are continuing to move forward at the time. Kevin Warren did that back in the early part of the summer. But after the Holy Grail decision was made, like you mentioned, like Homer Simpson. Also, do you say GIF or JIF? Because I said GIF and you said JIF. So let's make it a once and for all decision right now.
It's obviously JIF.
Ben. No, it's obviously GIF, dude.
Do 3 seconds of research for me. Put that Newhouse degree to work. Google how to pronounce it. You'll find the guy who invented the GIF says it's JIF.
Okay, you know what? If the guy who invented the GIF says it's JIF and you can prove that, this is me having blind trust in you. I'm going to go with GIF. Now we are calling it a GIF. But Kevin Warren has faded into the background. So,
yes.
Big Ten rants aside, I think we have done a great job of continuing to talk about that. We brought you on. We're not done yet. One final point. Take it away, SEC Drew. Hit it up.
Well, thank you for calling me that, Ben, because you mentioned Greg Sankey. And when Greg Sankey's name is mentioned, I need to grab my torch and I need to put it in the air and say, yes, Greg Sankey. He's the best. Honestly, right. He has been a model of patience. He has been a model of transparency. He is exactly the guy the SEC needs leading them right now. And so someone might hear me say that and say, well, how can you support Kevin Warren and Greg Sankey? I think Kevin Warren was being a realist, and I am upset with his lack of transparency. You can have it both ways.
Right.
I'm glad that Greg Sankey has been patient. I'm glad the SEC ADs and presidents have been patient. But I do think it's going to be a lot harder for everyone who's tangentially in the orbit of the SEC. And by that, I mean fans. I mean game day workers. I mean graduate assistants. People who need football, they're banking on it. And if the SEC has to cancel it the day before the first game, or midway through the season, it's going to be tougher for those people to make ends meet, and they're going to feel more caught off guard than the Big Ten. So I think you can have it both ways, and it's okay for both. The only part I have an issue with is Kevin Warren not coming out and speaking publicly, and we're in agreement on that.
Listen, I think people are very bad at compartmentalizing things, and I think you, a smart man that I know that went to Syracuse University in the SI Newhouse School of Public Communications, has that ability to separate things in your mind. I also have that kind of ability, I would think. So, although I believe that Kevin Warren is a true leader, he has also disappointed us in these last few weeks. So, again, SEC Drew, we brought you on this podcast, really, to talk about what it's like gearing up to cover college football season, because we don't know about that anymore in the Big Ten portion of the country. So, SEC Drew, where are you right now? How's your mindset? Are you getting ready for Auburn and Alabama and UAB and everybody you're about to cover?
Oh, you better believe it. As we speak, Ben, UAB plays Central Arkansas Thursday, September 3rd. So by the time you're hearing this, and the game might have already happened, but UAB has been very gung-ho from the gun. They have been, outside of the Power Five, I think UAB has been the strongest individual school saying, we're going to play college football this year. And a big reason why is UAB's campus is essentially a huge hospital. Like, UAB is at the forefront. It's at the cutting edge, the vanguard of the fight against COVID-19.
Okay.
UAB has a ton of students. A lot of them are in the nursing school. It is a great medical facility. So why is that important for college football? Well, players and coaches, basically since June, have been able to get tested whenever they want. They've been doing weekly testing. They just ramped it up to twice weekly. But if you wanted to get tested 7 times in 7 days, I think that would be available to you. That's how good the infrastructure is at UAB.
Wow.
So their football program, and also another motivation for wanting to play, I think, there's a chance they're the best Group of Five team in America this year. They go to Miami in mid-September. If they can win that game, which is a big if, but if they can, they're probably going to go undefeated. And if there's ever a year for a Group of Five team to make the college football playoff,
right,
this is probably it. So I'm starting by talking about UAB, which I'm sure is a shock to the folks at home. But yes, we will be at Legion Field. We will be covering that game. It's extraordinarily exciting. As far as the SEC season is concerned, we really don't know. Now, the right. conference came out with some guidelines last week about just basically game day protocols. And there was a small section in there about media, but it was very, very ambiguous. And I think a lot of these decisions will be up to the schools. What it said was media will be limited. Press box seating will be limited. Sideline personnel will be limited only to essential staff. But in that sentence, essential staff included some photographers from media outlets that aren't the school. So basically, we'll see. I mean, I don't think CBS 42 is necessarily first on the University of Alabama's totem pole, just based on how Marty Smith gets reacted to every time he asks a question in a press conference. But hopefully we can cover the games. I'm just excited that they're going to happen and we can talk about them.
So thank you very much again to Drew Carter for coming on today's podcast. And it doesn't stop there for my man, SEC Drew, hashtag let us play Drew Carter. He is so good and our conversations are so riveting and engaging and informative and insightful. He will be back on Friday's episode to round out your week. That is what Drew Carter does. The two appearances he has made on the Locked On Big Ten show have both featured two episodes back to back. That is Drew Carter. That is what he brings. Learn from him. Engage with him. He is an authentic, relatable voice in college football, and we love having him here on the Locked On Big Ten show. He provides us perspective from outside of the Big Ten, but also has those Big Ten ties, being from the great state of Minnesota. So Drew Carter, SEC Drew, will be back on Friday's episode to round out your week. I'm sure there will be more news, more storylines, more headlines to cover in the days that get us to Friday. But until we speak again on Friday, have a splendid couple of days.